go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're going inside the ring with the author of a column by that name, a prize-winning column at that, Bill Gertz, the senior editor of the Washington Free Beacon and also the author of the Inside the Ring column at the Washington Times, author of six best-selling books, including The Failure Factory, about unelected bureaucrats taking us down. Bill Gertz, welcome. It's good to have you with us as always. Thanks for the time.
Hi, Frank. Always good to be on the show.
You've been covering a storm, it's fair to say. Let me just go through as much of it as we can in the time available. Just today, you talked about the possibility that Apple may be setting itself up for penetration or at least manipulation by the Chinese Communist government. Give us a sense of that, if you would.
Yeah, Apple announced recently that it was investing $1 billion, that's B, in a Chinese company, which is a ride-hailing app called DiDi. And this is basically a very unusual move for Apple, which generally doesn't do these kinds of investments. It usually buys companies outright or buys technology. But in this case, it's clear that Apple is trying to curry favor with the Chinese government by making this investment, because this is a Chinese-linked company, and it's going to have close links to the Chinese intelligence and security services, which routinely monitor such ride-sharing apps, because whenever you sign up for one of these things, like Uber or Lyft, you have to provide a lot of sensitive personal information. And of course, it appears cynical here that you have the Chinese kind of sucking up to the Apple, largest company with $293 billion in offshore cash, sucking up to the Chinese government. At the same time, Apple spurned the Justice Department when it asked for help in getting access to this San Bernardino terrorist cell phone. So they're not looking good on this score.
And you also wrote that one of your sources told you that if the Chinese asked for a similar kind of access to Apple encryption technology, they'd get it. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, one businessman told me that if the People's Armed Police said, we want access to this iPhone because it has information about Uyghur terrorists, that the company would fall over in trying to meet those requirements. It also comes, this investment by Apple also comes at a time when the Chinese are cracking down on U.S. tech companies. Recently, the New York Times reported that the authorities in China, the Cyber Administration, which is their internet monitoring agency, is demanding security reviews and access to sensitive encryption keys. And this, of course, raises even more concerns about the loss of proprietary data. And we know the Chinese record on cyber attacks is probably one of the worst, along with the Russians.
Very alarming. This is, of course, just one of the battle spaces in which the Chinese are waging war against the United States these days, Bill. It's not always recognized as such, but the Pentagon seems to be edging ever closer to a recognition of just how serious this danger is from the Chinese. Talk a little bit about that, if you will.
The situation in the South China Sea is dire, I would say. I mean, basically what's happening is that the Chinese have engaged in naked imperialism. They've literally taken over the entire South China Sea. And this is incredibly strategically significant, because this waterway spans the Indian and Pacific Oceans, and it's the choke point for $5 trillion in trade each year, oil, goods, all kinds of trade. And the Chinese have literally taken it over without firing a shot, basically based on the negligence of the Obama administration. Under the previous Pacific Command commander, they, for a period of 3 years, they stopped doing naval freedom of navigation operations, which would basically declare this, hey, this is international waters. But because of pressure from pro-China policymakers in the Obama administration, this very liberal-leaning commander just dropped the ball. Now they've started to pick up those operations again, and guess what? The Chinese are saying, get out. This is our territory. Don't fly your aircraft. Don't sail your ships through the South China Sea.
To be clear about this, Bill Gertz, what we're watching is a buildup of Chinese capabilities. You've contributed to a new book we've just released called Warning Order, How China is Preparing for Conflict, and We Must Do the Same. This makes perfectly clear that we are heading into a very rough patch with the Chinese. Do you yet see, apart from, you know, a report here and there saying perhaps the Pentagon now appreciates this problem more than it has in the past, that they're taking actual steps to contend with what China's up to?
No, they're not. And that's the simple answer. But they're trying to. There's some recognition that, oh, boy, we better do something. But unfortunately, as with most of the policies of the Obama administrations, it's this feckless lead from behind style of approach, which says, well, we'll work with the countries in the region and we'll try to get the Chinese to back off and we'll continue. And they state publicly we're going to sail and fly wherever we want. But yet when they do one of these operations, they pretend that it's all classified and we can't talk about it, which again sends the signal of weakness, which, you know, as Don Rumsfeld used to say, is very provocative. And of course, the nations in the region are really pushing the U.S. to do more. And unfortunately, they're not. There's a recognition, but words are one thing, actions another, and they're not doing the kind of actions that they need to.
Let me ask you, Bill, about one other thing you covered this week, which was a very important hearing in the Senate Homeland Security Committee about the vulnerability of the grid. What was your takeaway on that?
Yeah, this is clearly one of the Achilles heels of the American national security is the extreme vulnerability of our national electrical grid to disruption by a host of actors, from the weather to nation states. And for the first time, we saw a industry representative, albeit in a kind of backhanded way, at least acknowledge that the government is studying the issue of electromagnetic pulse attacks on the United States. This is the electronic pulse that's created from a nuclear blast or some other type of directed energy that can disrupt electronics for an area of about 1,000 miles. So it's a key vulnerability, and our foreign nations are looking at this from ranging from the Iranians to the North Koreans to the Chinese and the Russians as a way to really turn the lights out in a way that minimizes blast damage and radiation, but creates potential for catastrophic death and destruction.
Let me ask you, Bill, finally, about a story that is real inside baseball for a lot of us, but I know you can explain quickly what it was at stake. The closure of the Foreign Denial and Deception Committee of the National Intelligence Community.
Yeah, this was in my Inside the Ring column last week, where I reported that this entity within the National Intelligence Council, which is the CIA located but Director of National Intelligence run analysis group, and going back to the Reagan administration, they had a committee whose job it was to monitor foreign denial and deception efforts. And again, this was something that the bureaucracy hated. They dismissed it as Angletonian sick think and a kind of a security function that they hated. So this was mandated under Reagan, and every intelligence agency was supposed to have one. But over the years, because of the bureaucratic opposition, they got rid of all of them except this one entity. And I heard that they're going to get rid of this one entity. The DNI pushed back and claimed that, no, they're not going to get rid of it, that they really need this. So it's I'm not sure if their public affairs office is using a little domestic denial and deception in countering it.
Well, we know that you will penetrate that. Bill Gertz, thank you for the work you do at the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times, and, of course, with us each week. Keep it up. We look forward to talking with you next week. And the same will go for the rest of you. Same time, same station on Monday. Till then, thank you very much for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.